You are listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and I want to welcome you to the show. If you're listening live tonight, we're glad you could join us. If you're not, then I guess you're listening on to the recorded podcast, and that's cool, but try and catch us live sometime. If you'd like to participate in the show tonight, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio, that's all one word, or join us in the warbirdradio.com chat or the RC Scale Builder chat, whichever you prefer. And I guess tonight we want to kind of kick things off by welcoming a good friend of mine and a fellow modeler and who I like to call the propeller expert, our good friend Steve Thomas. Steve, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Hey, Mike. Great to be with you again. It's been some time since we've spoken.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know a lot's been going on since the last time we had you on the show. And, you know, maybe we should start kind of from the beginning. And before we get into the heavy propeller stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the hobby and about your business and the various aspects of it?
Oh, God, I mean, it's going to take me all night to share that one with you. But, you know, I've been involved with the hobby for many, many years now. And I got into the hobby through an uncle who was a Spitfire pilot in the war. And wow. He sort of kindled my interest in the hobby. But, you know, so I've done it for many, many years since I was, 10? So quite some time. And then obviously made the transition, almost 18 years ago now from being a hobby into a business when we relocated to the States from the UK. And it's just incredible how quickly that time has gone. I just can't believe how quickly, you know, it's gone and all the various things that we've achieved during that period of time. And, of course, all the changes in the industry, which have been massive.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Have you noticed the older you get, the faster the years go by? Isn't that crazy?
It is. And, you know, I always remember people telling me that, and that is absolutely true. Because although, you know, I've always had sort of customer-facing jobs, you know, running the retail store is a real shop window on life. And just incredible to think that we moved here, 18 years ago. And here we are today.
Wow, wow. Well, speaking of the retail shop, why don't you tell us a little bit about that first? And let's, because that'll kind of segue into the propeller thing, I'm sure.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, as you know, we when we moved over to the States, we actually took over Bob's Hobby Center, which is based in Orlando, Florida, and we've built the business up from that. We relocated it once, built a brand new sort of mega store, which, you know, has been very successful. I mean, the one thing I realize is that the hobby business is a tough business, but, you know, we've had good success with it. And, you know, we've worked hard in it. But certainly the transition that we've made is that where we used to be fully dependent on the store, on the retail side, with the advent of the internet now, then the whole business focus has changed. And that was really the catalyst to us relocating the business, just over 2 years ago,
yeah,
to a ranch-style property where we've actually got the business on the property itself, and we do all of our business out of the warehouse. So you know, we've got a large warehouse that has all the stock available, exactly the same as before, and it's split really between the retail side and the internet side. You know, with I hate to say it, but probably more of a focus on the internet side than the retail side at the moment, because that's just genuinely the way the business seems to be going at the moment. I'm sure you've noticed those changes in your area.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of interesting. You know, the traditional hobby shop, unfortunately, there's still quite a few of them out there, but a lot of them, we see them closing up, you know, every year. And it's just a tough business to compete against the internet, you know.
It is. I mean, you know, to run a hobby store, you've really got to have, you know, some good business acumen, and you've got to have some strong direction as to what you're doing, and also linked with that, you know, a fair bit of luck in the local area.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, as we've said, everybody's getting older. There aren't quite as many newer people coming into the hobby. So making ends meet is a bit of a challenge in the hobby trade at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about justmodelprops.com, because
okay.
I really wanted to focus on that tonight, Steve, because I think, in my opinion, when I first got in the hobby, the second time around, like everybody else, you know, as an adult, buying propellers was almost like a black art, you know.
Right.
And things have changed so much, and you and I have talked about this many times.
Yeah.
And one thing positively, I think, that has changed in the hobby is you guys setting up justmodelprops.com and offering almost a one-stop shop for buying propellers for models. It's amazing to me that such a very specific and vertical item can do so well, you know. So what kind of led you guys in that direction? Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, you know, I mentioned before that, you know, the hobby business is working hard combined with a little bit of luck. And I think in our case, then, you know, the luck came in the fact that we were in the right place at the right time. In the fact that although, you know, we'd only had the hobby business for probably, I don't know, 12 months, 18 months, but mm-hmm. we could already see, you know, at that stage, you know, the challenges that there are in the hobby industry. So we just decided at that stage we needed some sort of niche product that we could learn, you know, and do well with, and the propeller business was the one that we selected. And the way the link came up is we actually had a good friend in the UK called John from Overlander Batteries, and he was talking about a relationship that he'd recently formed with a company in China called Zor. And what he did was introduced us to the owners of Zor. And basically that was our first step into the propeller market. And,
gotcha.
You know, to this day we've got an incredibly strong relationship with this company, and we do a significant amount of business with them. But it's incredible how it's diversified from, you know, just normal model propellers into full-size propellers, UAVs, and the whole gambit for the industrial market. So that's basically how we got into that market. And then over a period of time, then clearly found it. Mm-hmm. And then we introduced Falcon Propellers, which is another brand. So the Falcon and the Zor propeller brand both sort of dominate the market now.
Yeah.
Both do very, very well.
That's pretty interesting. You know, I remember talking to you when all this first started coming about. And
yeah.
What was interesting about it was I would have never foreseen that it's worked out as well as it has, and those two lines have become as popular as they have.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically stole most of the business away because of the quality of the product and the price from everyone else, you know.
That's right. No, it is. It's pretty amazing. You know, I mean, we brought Zor to the States, and as an example, if you were flying a World War II warbird, you would typically fly a 10 or a 12 pitch on it. And the idea for that then is to give you the speed. But if you were flying a World War One model, as an example, where speed isn't necessarily the factor, then what you'd do is you'd fly typically a far lower pitch, either a 6 or an A pitch. But what you would do at the same time is you would increase the diameter of the propeller. So just as an example on a Zenoa 74 Twin, just as an example, if you look at the book on that, that will probably say for you to use like a 24x10 as the most effective propeller. Right. But on a World War One model, as an example, you know, we would use a 28x6 pitch propeller. And that will give you, you know, a really nice performance, and it will give you a lot of flexibility with the throttle curve as well.
Gotcha. Folks, sorry about that. We had a little blurb there with the station, but I think we got most of that in, Steve. If you guys want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio. That's all one word. Or join us in the RCSB chat or the Warbird Radio chat rooms, either one. We're monitoring both if you have questions. So another thing, too, that, you know, one of the first things I learned about props was that just like everything else in life, everything's a trade-off. Yeah. So if you're going to add more pitch, you've got to take away some length, you know.
Yes, correct.
And if you're going to reduce pitch, you can add length, like you just talked about, a long prop with a shallow pitch.
Yes.
And so, you know, and that's the thing that I try and tell new guys, and I'm sure you try and, you know, do that too. But even with that, like you said, there's so many variables that those are just starting places.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, what we've done there, Mike, to actually just try to help the market, we've spent a lot of time putting together this huge propeller performance chart. It's a little bit hidden away on the various websites, but if you go to either of our websites, either Just Model Props or falconpropellers.com or the store website, in the other section, you'll actually find a very, very comprehensive propeller chart. Gotcha. And that propeller chart has got all the propellers that we sell on it, and it hasn't got every engine on it, but it's got all the popular engines with the most effective propeller recommendation on it. So what we've got is we've got the thrust figure in kilograms, and we've also got the RPM figure as well. And we've got that chart for two-blade and for three-bladed propellers. And that chart is very much becoming the Bible in the industry for recommending a particular size propeller. Still got work to do on it, but it's updated almost on a monthly basis with our sponsored pilots who give us feedback. And all that feedback's fed into that chart. So if somebody is looking for a propeller recommendation, I'd highly recommend that they go to this prop chart on either of the websites, and that will give them an excellent starter for 10.
Right. Super, super. That's exactly. I'll put a link to that up on the show notes on RCSB so people can get to it. I just pulled it up on your site.
And what we're actually doing now is just to refine that even further. We're even doing it at altitude as well, because obviously, you know, the higher, if you fly at sea level, you'll get one level of performance. And, you know, if you fly at altitude, then you will need a different size propeller to cater for the thinner density of the air. So as you said, you know, it started off with nylon propellers, and look how sophisticated we're getting now with it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, the interesting thing about it, I can remember running a G62 with a I think it was a 2210 nylon prop, and then running one with a Zor and having about, no joke, 20-25% more power, you know.
Yeah, that's right. But don't forget, you know, one of the things that people get confused about is the RPM. You know, just because you get a higher RPM or a different RPM through it doesn't necessarily mean that you're getting, you know, a higher level of performance. So
that's right.
Once again, it's linked into this thing where there's a lot of factors that contribute to the actual performance.
Yeah, that's true. One other thing I wanted to discuss with you while we're talking about the technical aspect of propellers. And you know what? I think after this show, Steve, I'm going to start calling you the propeller guy. Or maybe a propeller head. What do you think about that?
Whatever you like, Mike.
I really enjoy having you as a friend. I'm just going to say that on the air so there's an official record of it, okay? But one other thing I wanted to talk about was the difference between performance difference between a carbon fiber prop and a wood prop. I think sometimes people get confused about when it's appropriate to use a carbon fiber prop, and and they kind of use it in a situation that you really don't need to use one. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what we do is we make all the wood propellers, both the Zora and the Falcon, with Bohemian beech. So it's a wood that's grown in Europe, and it's quite a process because, you know, the trees are grown, they're cut down, the wood is milled, it's sawn into blocks, it's dried in the kiln, it's then shipped all the way over to China. Well, we have another drying method. We produce the propellers, and then, of course, the propellers then are shipped back here to the States. So it really is quite a process involved in actually making the propellers, but obviously it starts with growing the trees.
Right.
Probably, I don't know, probably 50%, no, probably 60% of our sales are still wood-related. But that Bohemian beech is the tightest quality grain beech that there is, and it's perfect for the product that we make. But equally, carbon fiber now has come on in leaps and bounds. And this is where our Falcon brand absolutely dominates the market, particularly in the 3D and the aerobatic field.
Right.
And there is a difference in performance. The big thing is that despite the fact that we use CNC machines now to produce the wood props, then because it's a live product, then there will be variances in the product. Whereas with the carbon side, every single propeller that comes out of the mold has exactly the same specification as the other one. And that's why the performance on a Falcon propeller, if you had five propellers of exactly the same size, you will get almost exactly the same level of performance out of every single one of them. Because they're made to exactly the same tolerances, the weight, the balance, absolutely everything. Pretty incredible when you actually watch the process because, you know, the material itself is cut, it's weighed to exactly the same amount as all the others. The resin, the drying time, everything is uniform on it. But generally on the carbon side, I mean, the key difference with the carbon side is that you can get exactly the aerofoil section that you want to produce, and you can mimic that every single time you make it. But the main difference is the stiffness of the product.
If
you actually did a slow motion video, even with the Bohemian beech, you'll actually see the wooden propeller flexing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do the same with the carbon propeller, you will not see it flex at all. And I don't know if you remember, but remember at Toledo a few years ago, we did that test where we got, I think it was a 27-inch propeller, when we put it across two chairs, and we got a little kid out of the audience, and we got him to bounce up and down on it.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's saying, oh, that's nothing. So we said, come on, we got Julie, my wife, to do it, and she bounced up and down it, and they said, ah, that's nothing. I bet you can't do it. And, of course, I jump on the thing, and I'm putting, you know, all my weight onto this thing, and it does not flex at all.
Right.
Pretty incredible demonstration.
Yeah. That's really amazing. Oh yeah, absolutely. I remember that. And that's what I was really looking for you to tell the guys is, because it's been my experience that what that translates to is immediate throttle response.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no lag in the throttle response at all if everything else is right. And that's really useful for the 3D guys, you know.
Yeah. Well, the difference is with the on the throttle response is that we can thin the propeller out in certain areas and thicken it up in other areas to get the maximum efficiency. But don't forget, the carbon propellers are brilliant for the 3D aerobatic side, but don't forget, those propellers are incredibly tough and resilient.
Yes.
So, you know, if you were to use that on, say, like a Zenoa 62 as an example, and you had a hard ground strike, then more than likely the propeller would not give way.
Right.
And what you would do is you would end up bending the crankshaft on the engine. So, you know, there is a trade-off on it as well.
Yeah. And that's what I try and tell guys is unless you need that immediate throttle response and that performance, I mean, don't get me wrong. I wish everyone would buy two or three from you. But that's why they still make wooden propellers. You know?
Absolutely. Well, it's strange. You know, we had a gentleman on the phone today. He had a 3W70. He was new to sort of the hobby, and he really wanted a carbon propeller for it. And I must admit, I talked him out of it, and we both agreed at the end of the conversation that a wood propeller would be far more suitable for his application, you know, because he's new to the hobby. You know, so the chances of him having a ground strike are a little bit higher. And it was an older style box of engine, which had a little bit of a weakness in the crankshaft. So at least if he has a ground strike with a wood propeller, yes, he'll lose the propeller, but he won't damage the engine at the same time.
I got you.
Yeah,
man.
And of course it's cheaper. You know, a wood propeller, you know, although it's still, you know, a costly item, then it's significantly cheaper than its brother or sister in the carbon world.
Yeah. Steve, you know what? I think I'm going to have to keep a copy of this show for myself. There is some really good technical info in this interview about propellers. And I really appreciate you coming on, but we got to take a quick commercial break. Will you stick around and let's talk more after the break?
Yep, no problem at all.
All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
This is Warbird Radio. Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
You're listening to the RC Scale Builder Show on Warbird Radio. Now here is your host, Mike Chilson.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson. And we're here with Steve Thomas of Bob's Hobby Center and JustModelProps.com talking about propellers tonight. Man, what a great discussion so far, Steve. I really appreciate you coming on. I think this is probably one of my favorite interviews this year just because I like to get down into the technical stuff, you know?
Okay.
And I think a lot of people like to hear that stuff too because, you know, busy people like you and myself and everyone else these days, it's hard to find the time to just sit down and have a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff really helps. But, man, that's some great information. And I'm going to link the propeller test chart that you guys have for sure. But I want to keep talking about these two brands, Zor and Falcon. And you know, like you talked about, they currently dominate, especially the giant scale modeling community.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the various types of propellers that you sell?
Yeah.
And let's touch on that.
Yeah, and once again, I mean, you know, it's a massive subject, but I mean, you know, in the early days, we just had one propeller, and
right.
that was a, you know, a standard tractor wooden propeller, very, very efficient. And then what we did is we introduced the laminated propeller, which uses the same wood, but it's built of about 16 or 17 laminations. And basically that was a good stepping stone from a wood propeller to a carbon propeller because it was stiffer. And also it looked really, really neat as well. But currently, I mean, you've caught me on the hop a little bit with this one because I can't tell you the actual different numbers, but if I tell you, if I run through the range, we've got sports propellers, we've got laminated, we've got nylon, we've got carbon, we've got gas propellers, electric, we've got scale propellers with the scimitar, the lance, the sabre, and we do them in finished and unfinished. We've got all the World War II propellers, and we even offer an option now of them being weathered. We do three-blade propellers, and those are in wood and carbon. We do a lot of business on helicopter blades, multi-rotor blades. I mean, you know, we do a phenomenal amount of business on those, not just for the model side, but for the industrial and military applications. There's folding blades, there's speed blades, and, you know, one of the latest innovations is we're very much trying to get the dB profile down for noise-sensitive areas.
Uh-huh.
So we've got some very, very quiet blades. So you can see there, I mean, I don't know, we've got, what, 20 different classes of propellers, and that results in us stocking over well over 26,000 propellers at any one stage in the warehouse. But even with that depth of stock, we still don't have everything that people need. So, as you said, it's incredible how the market's altered and the variances that there are in the product which is available.
Yeah. Let me ask you something along those lines. I know on some of the lines you guys offer a counter-rotating propeller. Is that correct?
Yes, we do, yes.
Is that mostly the electric-style props, or is it all of them?
Yeah, no. It's no. I mean, it depends what you mean by counter-rotating. I mean, what we do is we offer a tractor and we offer a pusher configuration.
Right, exactly.
As well.
Yeah. Tractor
and pusher, and the pushers are very, very popular. But also what we offer is what we call a reverse cut. So if somebody's doing like a P38
uh-huh.
and they want both motors, both propellers to turn in, if they've got the right engine, then we offer a match pair so the propellers will turn into the fuselage.
Oh, nice.
So we offer those as well. But there's a difference between a tractor propeller, a pusher, and also reverse cut.
Yeah.
And with the UAV industry, then we get asked on a daily basis for a whole range of different configurations.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Is that a special service you guys offer, or do you carry those in stock?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I mean, with those types of applications, a lot of them are just bespoke projects.
Right.
But because we've been involved in it, you know, for quite a number of time now, then we'll more than likely have a solution that's available, not necessarily off the shelf, but we've already got the product molded and everything else, and it's just a matter of getting it produced and shipped out.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, super. That's what I was hoping to hear, is that you guys could handle that kind of stuff. Well, that's, you know, it's amazing to me. I'm sitting here just scrolling through the website, just model props right now. And I remember when the site first went up, you probably had a tenth of what you have now.
That's it. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, you know, it's one of our weaknesses. We need to, you know, get more stuff on onto the website, but there just aren't enough hours in the day to do it.
I understand.
You know, and I know it sounds really crazy, but just trying to keep up to date with the stock is a challenge by itself, with having so many different, you know, types of propellers and sizes. Because on the sizes now, we actually go from, what, 9 inches all the way up to 60 inches.
Wow.
And, you know, we stock most of those. Most of the product that we stock is 44 inches and below. So it's just incredible as to how the size of these propellers has grown, you know, for the different models out there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it truly is. And, you know, the other thing that really amazes me, too, I heard, you know, as you well know, this hobby's full of complainers. We all run into them, you know.
Yeah.
But I heard someone complaining about the price of propellers today, and my response to them was this. I told them, it's like you said, actually. I said, you know, I said, why don't you take a stick, take a 2x4, and put it on buy it over in China, have it put on a boat and shipped over here.
Yeah.
And have it delivered to your house and see how much it cost.
Yeah. it's incredible. I mean, you know, you've hit a really good point there, and it's something that we measure all the time is the actual cost of shipping. Yeah. I mean, you think if we grow the trees in Europe, you know, we've got to grow the tree, we've got to do all the work over there, then we've got to ship it over to China. Mm-hmm. It's got to be made over there, then it's got to be shipped back over here, and then ultimately we've got to ship it out to the customer. So if you actually look at the cost of the product, then on a three-bladed propeller, as an example, something like 23% of the cost of that product is shipping. It's incredible.
Wow.
You know, and with a three-blade of it, that's a hard product to ship because, you know, because of the size of the box. You know, so, you know, whenever we have pizza here, we always keep the boxes.
With a note inside that says, please excuse the grease stain, right?
That's right. But at least it gets there safely.
That's right. Or just tell them it's lubricant. They won't know the difference.
I mean, at some stage, I should share with you some of the disasters that we've had in shipping propellers. That would make like a really funny 30-minute interview.
I hear you.
Yeah, we could even share some of the responses from the customers.
I could just imagine that. But you know, when you look at what it takes to get these props into people's hands, the price is really low. I mean, I talk to people all over the world, you know, many times a week, and I in my head, it amazes me how inexpensive things are here in the States compared to the rest of the world. You know,
you are absolutely correct on that one, and it's strange. I was chatting to our Falcon dealer in Germany today, and we were just looking at the pricing structure. You know, and basically, you know, whereas here we've got sales tax in where we are of what, 7.5%.
Right.
Where they are, it's 22.5%.
For the, you know, VAT, is that the VAT on it? Yeah.
For the VAT, makes a huge difference to the price of the product.
Wow, that's amazing. That really
it is. You know, so you know, I know the American market probably, you know. I understand what you're saying, that people will complain about the price, but they get an exceptional product at a great price compared to the rest of the world.
Absolutely. And you know, and I just want to personally thank you also for doing all this, because, you know, otherwise a lot of us would still be stuck flying those old nylon propellers, you know, if you had not taken
it. That's right. But those nylon propellers still have their place.
Absolutely, well, they do. Absolutely.
But God, they don't half hit. They don't half hurt when they hit the back of your hand.
That's right. And you know what? You know what? They make great paint stirrers, also.
I've got plenty of scars on the back of my hands where they've wrapped the back of my knuckles.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. But you know that, I mean, it's amazing though. You know, this show and this discussion is just a testament to it. How far this technology's come. Just a simple one, simple technology in our hobby. You know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the thing is, with the propellers, they've got more efficient and they've got quieter at the same time.
Yes, yes.
You know, and if you do a comparison with, you know, even, what, 15 years ago, there's been phenomenal improvements in the quality of the product which we offer.
Yeah, oh, I totally get it. Well, what about new products? Is Zor or Falcon releasing any new products this year?
Yep. There's always, you know, whenever we visit the factories, and we've recently come back from the factories, I mean, it's just incredible to see the developments that these guys are making. You know, I mean, these factories are just eye-openers. You know, the conditions that they work in, they're surgically clean. And just as an example, when they're making the carbon propellers, it's just like an operating theater where all the instruments are laid out and they'll pick the appropriate instrument up to perform the particular operation on the propeller.
Yeah.
There are lots of developments taking place at the moment. And probably the biggest one that we're working on at the moment is a real effort to make the propellers quieter as flying sites get more sensitive. You know, particularly in Europe, it's a huge constraint over there. It's not quite that constraint over here at the moment, but certainly we're getting a lot more telephone calls from flyers saying, look, you know, we've got a sensitive site and I need a propeller that's going to run quieter than the one that I've got at the moment.
Yeah.
And we're working really hard to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you touched on one of the biggest problems there that I see, and I know you do too, and that's people not running enough pitch.
Yes. Yes,
and the tips start going super, almost supersonic, and
yeah,
causing
yeah.
lots of noise. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And once again, you know, if people go refer to that propeller chart, then you know that will stop a lot of that, because the recommendations, if you follow them, it will give you the most effective performance for the engine.
Gotcha. Well, super. That's good to know. So you don't want to, like, other than the quieter props, is there anything else that you guys are working on?
Yeah, we're working on a whole range of things. You know, we've got a new Premier Scale series of props coming out.
Uh-huh.
We've got a lot of stuff that's tied up with military applications at the moment that we can't released to the general public, but
right.
you know, once those industrial applications have expired, then we'll be able to introduce them to the modeling market, and there's some pretty neat stuff in there.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is, you know, we're producing the product in different colors, like, you know, the spinners as an example. Mm-hmm. I think we offer like 6 different colors on those. What we've started to do now on the World War One props in particular is just to very delicately weather them so that when you get them, you know, it's absolutely authentic. We've actually done it with the World War Two props as well, but we've just got some improvements that we need to make on that. So basically what it means is that, you know, you've got this beautiful scale model, and instead of putting a prop on that's pristine, you know, it looks just that little bit weathered, and it complements the airframe more strongly.
Nice.
So those are just some of the developments that we're working on at the moment.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I'd like to see one of those. I bet that looks really cool.
Yeah. They're nicely done.
Well, let's talk a little bit about it. You were telling me about a special offer that that you guys were extending to people on the forum who who actually, you know, put the effort in and do a nice build and finish a model.
Yes.
Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, what we do is, you know, we used to spend a lot on advertising, you know, in the magazines, and that's still, you know, a part of our strategy. But really what we want to do is to acknowledge those people that are doing, you know, good builds, you know, and build threads. So what we're going to offer now is, you know, we're just going to start trawling all the threads. And if we see somebody there that's, you know, putting some good effort into a thread and trying their best, then what we're going to do is they'll probably find that they'll have a brand new prop delivered free of charge that will complement their build.
That's awesome. That's, you know, that's one of the things that I think a lot of this hobby has lost is that kind of community spirit between vendors and their customers. And that's awesome, Steve. I mean, I really just can't tell you how impressed I am with that idea. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
Well, we recently had the Blue Max event, you know, the World One event in Sanford, which was very successful. We had a great event there. And, you know, one of the guys that flies there is Doc Morrison.
Right.
You know, and he actually had a really, really nice thread on, I think it was RC Universe. And I must admit, I've been watching him build it. It was a T28. Did a phenomenal job on it. So, you know, he was the first recipient. And at the Blue Max event, we actually gave him a, I think it was a Sabre propeller that complemented the build.
Nice.
So, you know, we were more than happy to do that. So, you
That's
know,
awesome.
Once again, it doesn't have to be, you know, the best build in the world or anything like that, because everybody has different standards and learning curves and all the rest of it that goes with it. But all we want to do is to acknowledge those people that are putting the effort in. You know, so if you come across somebody that you think is worthy of that, drop us a line or send us an email or give us a quick phone call, direct us to where the thread is or what's going on, and we'll be more than happy to look at it.
Gotcha. That'd be awesome. Well, that's super. And the other thing I wanted to make people aware of is in March, the month of March, our monthly site supporter offer, you guys are going to be offering 15% off all purchases through justmodelprops.com of propellers,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just through the website,
yep. Because you'll have to use that discount code that we've set up.
Yeah.
And I got your guy to set that up today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So it is
just through the website, because during that time, you know, we'll be doing a lot at the air shows and everything else. But you know, once again, we'll be more than happy to support that initiative.
Well, I tell you what, I want to take a minute and thank you and your wife, Julie. I know she is truly your partner in crime these days.
Absolutely.
and you know, there's a lot of vendors out there who are really good vendors like yourself. And I try and take a minute and recognize those and point out the huge amount of commitment and support that people like Steve and Julie give our hobby. And it's not to them. It's not just about selling things. It's about the community. I cannot tell you the number of times and the number of items that they've given us for our Toledo dinner. And I know all the different things they do all over the hobby for different people. So I just wanted to take a minute and recognize you guys for that. And you really deserve all the kudos about it. Because, you know, not everybody does that. A lot of people do, but most do not, you know?
Yeah. Well, propellers are with us. If you cut us in half, we're like a stick of rock. There'll be a propeller in there somewhere.
There you
and
go.
And you know, I mean, you know, the thing I personally like about the hobby is meeting all the people. And you know, I'm really excited about the Perry Swap Meet this weekend.
Yep.
So we'll be heading there, and it's my one time of the year to be on the other side of the counter. So I'm going to give people a load of hell this weekend. And then following that, we'll be at Florida Jets, you know, red flag event. Then we've got Toledo. Then we've got Top Gun. And Top Gun's going to be massive this year. It's the 30th anniversary. We've got two personal entries ourselves. We'll be doing all the awards this year, which are really nice propellers for the recipients. And we've got some other giveaways as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, don't forget, we've got all the Warbird events, you know, at Mac Hodges and Rally of Eagles. And then there's a host of local events. So great opportunity to meet up with people. And if they need any advice and guidance, then obviously they just need to say, and we'll be more than happy to help them.
There you go. That's a great way to wrap up this interview, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, look, I appreciate it. We got to go. Can you believe we have eaten up an entire hour?
Oh, well, in fact, that's gone quick.
It really has. But it was a good interview, man. I really enjoyed you coming on the show. And once again, thank you guys for everything that you do. People listening to the show and the podcast, if you're gonna pick and choose where to spend your dollars, please spend it with these people. They support this hobby immensely, and they do so much that no one ever knows about for this hobby.
Is true. As Judy said, we will get our reward in heaven.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Steve, thanks a lot, buddy. We're gonna wrap it up, and we'll be talking to you real soon. And and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Just thanks to everybody that supports us all over the world. You know, we try our very best, but our personal thanks for all the support that you give us.
All right, pal. We appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
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 All right, folks. That was our good friend Steve Thomas, and what a great interview. God, Matt, that show could have went 2 hours.
I'm glad it didn't. And I mean, no. It's just, you know, this transcontinental, continental, intercontinental, and all that business is. It's like spinning plates over here, Mike.
You know what, buddy? We do the best we can, and that's all we can
do. Yeah, that's right. It is. I'm tired of being a plate spinner, Mike. I'm just ready to go back to everything working easily.
So, well, look, we're gonna cut it off and let you get some rest before we have another problem. But
let's cut our
thanks
losses.
Everyone for listening. Sorry for the small interruption during the show. That just happens sometimes. It's the nature of the internet. But be sure and join us next month. We'll be back again with another show. And hey, I may interview Molly. What do you think about that?
I don't know if I like that idea, Mike, but we'll figure something out. That may be the only person that'll come on. You never know, right? So,
we got lots of folks to talk to. But thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great rest of February. And be sure and check out the site supporter program on RCSB if you're not already a site supporter. Lots of benefits. Need to do it. Okay, man. Well, that's going to wrap it up. Be sure and what does I normally say? Be sure and measure twice and cut once.
There you
good
go.
Night.
Good night.